But we are in Tucson, Arizona, and we're doing campus ministry. If you go on to the next slide, we've been engaged with young people, and what our real desire is to be the answer to the prayers of parents and grandparents who are hoping their kids will come across somebody who will represent Jesus to them. That there are parents and grandparents across the nation who are caring about. They can't do what they used to be able to do for them. They can't protect them. They can't lead them. They can't be that influence that they want to be as a parent. Their kids need to come across a trusted mentor, someone that they can talk to and process their life with. And so we desire to be and have labored to be that, to interact with your kids, that your kids, when they go to college, wouldn't just interact with the things the culture is throwing at them, but they would come across kingdom-minded individuals who love them and care about them and help can point them to Jesus as they go through their college experience. And we love connecting with you. We do, y'all, and when you go to church, they always ask you to turn off your phone, but here you can actually use your phone. If you'd like to be connected to our not just our newsletter, but our communications with our team, just text your email to this number on the screen, because one of the things we're doing is we're working with you. There's a number of people within this congregation who are helping us to reach out to our colleges next year. One of the things that we found is that it's really fruitful to reach out to faculty on the colleges, because if you can find kingdom-minded faculty on the colleges, they can be really influential with the kids. Well, we discovered 2,600 faculty that we could get a hold of, but what we needed was to find those faculty and get them all together in a list so we can approach them all. And some of your congregation, because they're on our newsletter list, heard that we needed some people to do some data entry for us, find out who those people are so we can get a hold of them. And so we're not just working for you, we're wanting to work with you to help parents learn things they need to learn, to involve you in the ministry that we're involved in so that we can be fruitful in this ministry together. If you go on, the next. So what we do on our campus is a threefold ministry of winning students to Christ, building them in their faith, and sending them out to reach others. We do evangelism, and yes, though that is a dirty word in our culture today, proselytizing is kind of the worst sin of the day, it is very possible to do on campuses today. Young people are interested in spiritual things. You can do evangelism on the campuses today. We win students to Christ, build them in their faith, which is all about discipleship. They're not as interested in joining organizations as they were years ago, but they are very interested in having mentors, in having trusted advisors who can tell them things and lead them, which is what discipleship is all about. So we do evangelism and discipleship, and then sending them out to reach others, equipping students to be good at sharing their faith with their dorm, with the person down their dorm, or with somebody else in their classroom, so we can send students away from the colleges, which can be great ministry training environments. If a student can learn how to share his faith with his friends around them, he knows how to share his faith in his office building or share his faith in his neighborhood. So what we're doing is not just reaching lost students for Christ, but mobilizing and building and training laborers who can go out into every segment of society and benefit them. We've learned some about your sermon message and what your pastor has been preaching about. And the message I want to share with you today is how to be successful in witnessing. Witnessing and actually taking the gospel to people, seeing life change happen in other people's lives, is something that we are somewhat afraid of. A lot of us are familiar with the Bible, we know about personal growth, but that step of influencing other people can be really hard. And so what I want to share with you is up here on the screen, this is Jeff Lee. Jeff Lee was a freshman at the University of Missouri the first time I knocked on his door. And a few years ago, I stopped by to visit Jeff. This is not a picture of him right now. This is the next picture of him now. I stopped by to visit Jeff in Columbia, Missouri. And I stopped by to visit him, and he was doing a backyard Bible club, a vacation Bible school in his backyard. And we had just stopped through town, and we're stopping by to visit. And so I came in, and we were visiting with him a little bit. And somebody knocked on the door, one of his friends from down the street that was helping with the backyard Bible club. And Jeff, let the guy in the door, and then he took him by his arm, and he rushed him over to me. He said, "Hey, I want you to meet Jay. He's the guy who led me to Christ," which is an awesome experience. to know that that's the difference that you make. Successful witnessing is seeing people say, let me introduce you to this person led me to Christ. It's worth figuring out how to witness. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. I know it's one of the things that we sort of give up on over time. But it's worth figuring out how to be a successful witness. And so here's the definition of successful witnessing. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. It's not as complicated as we make it. It's not tied in as much as to what do people think and what if I screw up people's lives and all of these sort of things. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. Now, some of those pieces are easier than others, but if we grow in each one of those over time, we're going to be growing in being successful in our witnessing. I want to take each part of these, each part of this definition, and kind of parse it out for us so we can see the places that maybe we need to make a step in order to grow in being a successful witness. And Dana's going to come up and help me with that as well. So the first part of this definition is successful witnessing. What is successful witnessing? Successful witnessing, in Mark 4, it says this. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And one of the real fascinating things to study is all of the kingdom parables. Like in Mark 18 or 13, I always get my threes and eights mixed up. I think it's Mark 18. There's a number of kingdom parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And we get this big picture. Well, here Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man casts seed on the soil. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He didn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces crops. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the head. But when the crop ripens, he immediately puts a sickle to it. And who is the he here? Is the he the man? The he is the man. The man puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So what we have here is a picture of what successful witnessing is like. It is as hard as casting seed and watching what's happening and reaping it. Now, we all know things are more complicated than that in real life. But in the big picture, realizing that successful witnessing is not becoming a bunch of different things or overcoming a lot of fears that we're concerned about. Successful witnessing is about casting seed on the ground.
I just wanted to give a quick example from my experience early on in our ministry. I was mentoring, discipling a girl named Nikki, and we had an opportunity to share the gospel with another college student. And so this student had expressed an interest in Crew. And so before we went, I talked to Nikki, and I thought I'd give her some tips and some pointers about, you know, how to be more personable and relatable when we went to share, because she tended to be really shy and reserved, and I was concerned about that. So we went, and we went to the girls' dorm room, and I said, hi, you know, we're with Crew, and you wanted to know a little bit more about it. Crew is a Christian ministry, and can we tell you about what Christians believe? And she said, sure, that would be great. So I said, okay, this is Nikki. Nikki's going to tell you a little bit more about that. And so what followed was the most dry, long presentation of the gospel, awkward, that I've ever witnessed. And the whole time I thought, oh, you know, I'm just going to have to give her some lessons after this on how to relate more with people and ask more questions. And, you know, I wanted to jump in and lighten the mood a little bit. But faithful Nikki just went through, you know, point two, point three, four, and just, you know, did her thing. And at the end, she said to this girl, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and place your faith in Him? And I thought, that's not going to happen. And this girl said, yes, I would. And Nikki led her in a prayer, and, you know, all of my little lessons that I was going to give to Nikki just flew out the window, and I realized that the one who needed to learn a lesson that day was me. But it's not about personality when you share your faith. It's just taking the initiative to share the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. And that girl is still walking with the Lord. So is Nikki. So it's just amazing.
So we had one. It's easy for us to talk about successful witnessing because it's my job. Like, I have to go to work and I have to do something, so might as well walk up to somebody and try to figure out some way to share the gospel with them. But when I went to seminary, I was really challenged about my view of witnessing, because I didn't witness around me. I just witnessed in my job. I just witnessed with students. And when I went to seminary, I had a kind of a unique situation that happened. One, the Lord was working in my life I wanted the next 10 years of my ministry to be more fruitful than the last had been. I had come on staff with Campus Crusade and had been ministering for 10 years, but I wanted to not leave this place that I was going to be for 3 years without the people around me hearing the gospel. And I knew that they would, because so now we're in Whipple Tree Village. This is a little picture of Whipple Tree Village, which is a trailer park in Deerfield, Illinois, where I lived. And I lived right here. And right surrounding me, there were a number of people that I knew, if I didn't do something different, they would not hear the gospel from me in the time that I was here. One of them, actually, was a Victor. The way this came up to me was Victor was an older man. He's an older gentleman from the Hollywood era of California. So he like wore a cravat. Thank you, Vicky. Always helpful. He wore this white outfit with an orange sort of scarf thing tied around his neck. And he came over to visit with us early when we moved, and I found out that Victor had 2 or 3 heart attacks. And he said, "I'm done with that. The next time I have a heart attack, I'm not having any interventions. It's just going to be the end of me." And I realized Victor is likely going to die while I'm here, 3 years. And I knew that if I lived my life like I normally live my life, Victor was not going to hear the gospel from me. And so that made me start thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And I made a commitment before the Lord. I'm like, I'm going to be here 3 years, and there are a set of people around me that I'm not going to leave here until I've shared the gospel with them. And so one of them was Victor, which I had no... So Victor was an older guy. He was foul-mouthed. He did not like his daughter. That's the very first thing you knew about him. He was always talking about his blankety-blank daughter and what his blankety-blank daughter did and the glory days of his wine, women, and song years in California. And I just had... I have no way to relate to Victor at all. I'm like, how am I ever going to talk to Victor? Well, one of the other people was Holly. So Holly, this is way more complicated than I thought it was going to be. So Victor lived over here. Holly lived over here. And Holly was a single mom with a young boy, which was problematic for me to relate to her. I'm like, you know, I want to be nice to her, but I don't want to be inappropriate. And I felt like one of the ways I could serve her was to do things with her son, but then that was weird. And so, we were in Chicago, and she was kind of loud and sort of Chicago-like, you know, she was kind of in your facey. And I'm a Midwest boy. And I just, how am I going to share my faith with a single mom with all of that going on? And then across the people that I thought, wow, this is something I definitely can do, is there was a family across the road. I think they were a Hispanic family, but it was a young family that was a lot like me. And I'm like, okay, that one's going to be easy. I'll just share my faith with them because I've got a lot of ways that I can relate to them. Then over on the other side, there was this older Polish couple, the Sabraks, Sophie and Sid and Sophie, and she worked at the front office area. And so I thought, you know, I'll have some relationships with her, some relations with them. And then over here was Sandy, who was also a single lady, but no kids. And I'm like, okay, so this is where God has planted me. And I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this. I am not going to walk away from here without having shared my faith with these people. So for that, for me, was successful witnessing. somehow I'm going to do this. I'm going to be responsible to cast my seed. So the next part of our definition, successful witnessing, is taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Spirit and leave the results up to God. Go on to the next slide. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative. One of the verses I love that I believe really relates to evangelism or to witnessing is in Ecclesiastes. And it says this, "Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, because you do not know whether morning or evening sowing is going to be better or whether both of them alike will succeed." I would propose that probably in your interest or your efforts about witnessing, you're often thinking, oh, this isn't the right time, or I'm not sure if to do this, or I need to wait until I build a better relationship, or something needs to happen before I can sow my seed. And I always have this in mind. Just sow your seed in the morning. I mean, you can watch the skies all you want, but if you don't plant, if you don't take some risks, if you don't go, well, it's dry enough that we can get in, so let's get the seed in the soil, let's do it. Taking the initiative is the first thing that you have just got to do. And one of the things that worked for me is I had set myself up to say, okay, I'm going to be here 3 years, and I've got to do something. Next slide. On our campuses, these are two guys, Scott and John Okolsky. Scott is one of our interns. We trained Scott to share his faith and have a ministry. Scott was on the campus, had a sign up about getting involved with Campus Crusade, and John came by, and Scott said, hey man, you interested in what we're doing on campus? John walked by, go, no man, no thanks, and sat down at a table over here. Scott took the initiative. John had just said no thanks, but John didn't know what he was turning down. And so Scott walked over the table, started talking to John, asked him where he was spiritually, and nobody would have ever known John had been experiencing overt spiritual oppression. He had been seeing things, and he had been interacting with a God that he did not know. God had told John he needs to find Christian friends. And John, when he was having this experience with this God thing that he didn't even know it was like, where am I going to find Christian friends? And lo and behold, somebody that he walked past goes to him and says, hey, you want to talk about what's going on with you spiritually? The reason we've got to take the initiative is you do not know. You don't know if the person you're going to talk to is adamantly opposed to Christianity because they've been burned before, or if God has been talking to them about somebody that he's going to bring to them. You do not know. And so you've got to take the initiative. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do something rather than nothing. So the first thing I did is I said, I'm going to cover all my bases. The first Christmas, we decided to have a caroling party. And I made little tracts that talked about cookies and warm cookies and the environment that is, and that's kind of the environment of God. I don't remember. It was a Christmas tract that had the gospel in it. And I intentionally got people together to go caroling so that I could meet everybody and give them cookies with a tract. So, you know, that's not the greatest idea, but it's sowing seed. And if I do, you know, if I die next week, I have shared the gospel. Holly has cookies with a tract in it. Victor has cookies with a tract in it. I have done something to put a seed in every one of these homes around me. And I'm still, every morning in the shower, thinking, God, okay, I would pray through. I'd go, what am I going to do here? Open up opportunities here. And I started to do something different. Instead of praying, God, would you open up opportunities? I begin to pray this, and this is scary. God, when you open up an opportunity, I will walk through it. That is hard to pray. The one is easy, the second is hard, which tells you a little bit about our need to take the initiative. Next slide, next two slides. So successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel. Not just to develop friendships, not just to do all of the things that surround witnessing, but taking the initiative to share the gospel. Romans 1:16 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is true. It's truer than anything we feel. It's truer than anything we think. And it has been true in my 28 years of experience. Like, you just keep thinking, if I just approach it differently, or if I, you think of all of these things, but in a core sense, successful witnessing is sharing the gospel. This is a Stevie. So in Stevie was a student, and it's sharing the gospel is not just about sharing the four points or sharing everything we know about God's realm of salvation, but sharing the gospel, in my experience, is highlighting for people their need or their brokenness and showing them how Jesus answers that need and that brokenness. So it's not just talking with them about the things they care about, but finding about what they care about and how that connects to the gospel. Stevie was like this. He was interested in spiritual things, and he really liked me. So he really liked our relationship, and he liked being around the things that we were involved in. His girlfriend did not. She did not like those things. And so she sort of came because he was always coming. He wanted to be around me and around the stuff that we were doing, but she did not like this. And I was always working with Stevie to figure out the difference between are you interested in God? Are you interested in me and the fun things that we do? And we had a party in which I watched the interaction between Stevie and his girlfriend. And what I saw was this. Stevie really wanted to be there, and he was really having fun. And his girlfriend kept dissing her. She'd like come up to him and say, hey, could we leave? Or he was leaving her out of things and dissing her and offending her all night long. And I left with him and her after the party. And it was really funny to watch as we walked away from the party. She said something to him, and he was like, what? What's the problem? And he was... I had just watched him be a jerk all night. And he was looking at her like, what? I didn't do anything wrong. He totally knew what he was doing. He is a broken person who is being a jerk to his girlfriend and not able to admit it. Because he's arrogant and he's proud, and all those things are sinful. And so I had this conversation with Stevie that changed his understanding of the gospel. Because I wasn't going to him and saying, you need to understand Jesus died on the cross for your sin. I could go with him, okay, so this is what I saw happen last night. I think you really wanted to be there, and you were being a jerk to her. Like, you were dissing her and all this sort of stuff. And then when she was bringing that up, you were denying that. And let me just tell you something. If I'm right about this whole God thing, you are broken. That thing that you see that isn't working for you, it's sin. It's sinfulness. And Jesus Christ died on the cross both to forgive that sin and to indwell you, live in you, so you don't have to be like that with her anymore. I shared the gospel with Steve. I didn't just talk with him about relational management and all that sort of thing. But that successful witnessing, it means doing that, finding where people are broken, finding lostness, and addressing that lostness, helping them to understand what it is, defining it for them, helping them see, yeah, I hate this thing, and applying the gospel to that. So successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel. Next slide. So in my example here, I needed to share the gospel, and Holly was one of the ones that I didn't know how to do this relationally and naturally. And so I kind of chickened out with Holly. I called Holly up. I didn't even walk across, a little thing in between our houses. And I called Holly and I said, I'm involved in a church in town. And one of the things that we do is we share with people what our church believes. So could I come over and share with you what our church believes? How relational was that, you know? But I was trying to manage some things. She was a single mom, and I knew I could bring somebody with me if we were kind of representing the church, and I didn't know how to get into spiritual things with her, so I'm like, well, I'll just go. And literally, we came into her living room, I said, this is Joe. He goes to a church with me, and we're just sharing with you a four-point outline about who God is and who people are and how the two relate. So could I share that with you? And I actually even told her I was training the guy, so I was in a seminary class that I was training some people in evangelism, so I was like, will you be a test case for me to share what my church believes so that I can train somebody in it? You know, how personal is that? We walked through Law 1, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Walk through a couple of verses about that. And then Law 2 is man is sinful and separated from God, so he can't know and experience God's love and plan for his life. And when I looked up after reading that on the little tract, tears were rolling down Holly's cheeks. We walked through the gospel. Holly trusted Christ that night. We took her to church. And we invited her to our church, and we're like going to go with her, but she drove behind us. And on the way there, I prayed, God, I pray that she would just find a fellowship that she can belong to. She'd just find her long lost friends, you know, in our congregation. We walked into our church, and the deaconess, one of the deaconesses in our church, walked over to Holly and said, Holly, what are you doing? The deaconess of our church was a drinking darts throwing buddy with Holly years ago. Successful. I would have never known that. I couldn't find that connection. I couldn't have gone, God, you need to show me how to make the connection with this woman and know that and then use that. I had to take the initiative to share the gospel before I could find out what the story is. That's what successful witnessing is. Next slide. Successful witnessing is taking initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not something, so when we're witnessing, we need to mediate against all of the things that we think. Oh, I need to be this, or oh, I need to do that, or get out of trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to do and follow God. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk into witnessing situations saying, God, I am sinful. I'm going to screw this up. I can't think well enough. I don't know enough about what's going on. I set my hand against the world, the flesh, and the devil that would take us off on tracks we need not go on. And I ask your word and your Spirit to lead me and guide me. Fill me. Show me what to say. Open up my eyes. And then you go into it and you say what you need to say. And you see what you need to see. It gets opened up for you, not by God telling you what you need to do and you go do it, but by God filling you and using you as a messenger. In our little deal here, Victor was he was just such a flagrant guy, and so I figured, you know, the way to get through Victor, in my best idea of how to do it, is I'll go over and fix things for him. He's an older guy; he needs a handyman around, so I'll go over and fix things for him. And it was completely unfruitful, and it was not any fun because I'd work on his gutters, and he'd be sitting there talking, drinking, and talking about his blankety blank sister daughter, and it was just like not fruitful. So at one point I said to Victor, would you shut up for 3 minutes and let me tell you 4 things? And he's like, okay. And so he sat down at the kitchen table. I put his drink over the side and I said, I'm just going to just shut up for 3 minutes and I'm going to tell you 4 things. God loves you. Explain a little bit about that. You're sinful, and that sin separates you from God. Explain a little bit about that. Jesus Christ is God's answer for your sin. Explain a little bit about that. And it's not enough just to know these things. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and then you can experience that life. My 3 minutes are up, and he goes, well, my blankety bank daughter just would have, you know, it was seemed to be totally unfruitful. It was probably a couple weeks later that Victor showed up on my doorstep and said, hey, I'm going out and doing some things, but I just wanted to tell you this. I had this bizarre dream last night. At the foot of my bed, there was this man in glowing white that showed up at the foot of my bed and said to me, Jay is going to preach to you. Listen to him. And he's like, isn't that weird? I mean, it's a blankety-blank stupid dream. So, and he walked off, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. An angel has appeared to my neighbor. telling him that I am going to preach to him. And so I went over to Victor's house and I preached to him. I don't preach. I don't do fire and brimstone. But Victor was going to die. And Victor needed to know that he needed to repent. And I preached to Victor. Sometime later, I don't know what was going on in his heart, but I'm believing that the Spirit of the living God is leading me in what I'm supposed to do here. I thought, I'll help this guy and get to be known as him as a handyman that he trusts, and maybe that'll open up a door for me. But the Spirit of the living God was showing me what I was to do. Victor did have a third heart attack. I went to the hospital before he died and said, "Victor, we gotta, this is real. You gotta make this decision." And Victor was like, Dana was there, and he's like, "Jay, I'm so tired. I've been poked and prodded. I just can't deal with this right now." And Victor died that night. And I do not know, but I do know. Victor knew what he needed to know. God had moved heaven and earth. God had placed me there. God had worked in my heart and life. God had shown him an angel. I believe that it is my hope that I will see Victor on the other side. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. One of the places where I learned this big lesson. Can we go on to here? In Matthew 13, one of the kingdom parables, it starts out the same, that a man sows a seed, but there's tares that grow up along with those seeds. There's weeds that grow up along with those seeds. And Jesus in the parable says, "Allow both to grow together to the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, I'm the one who knows who makes genuine decisions or not. I'm the one who's responsible to sort out what has happened from your sowing and your reaping. It's up to God to care for his fruit. He cares about it more than we do. So to be to walk into witnessing situations and not walk away from them saying, 'Oh, that didn't work because I... so I'm not going to do that again.' And we come up with this whole big list of things that we're never going to do again because one time we tried them, it looked like it didn't really work out. That's the wrong thing to do. You leave what the Spirit has led you to do in people's lives to God. If they react against it and freak out about it, then that's a part of it. Two examples. In my little deal here, when we walked around and did the Christmas, what's that thing called? Caroling. We went to Sandy's house. And Sandy's house was dark, but we rang the doorbell and did caroling on her doorstep. Little did we know that Sandy had been severely in a severely abusive relationship, and she lived in a fortress. And so when she experienced a group of people coming up on her doorstep and making a lot of noise, she went into a back room and locked herself in a closet. Because what I was trying to do, what I felt led to do, what God had led me to do, you would think, so I could say, I'm never going to do that again because I'm going to freak people out. But Sandy came over that night, I believe it was that night, or the next night, and shared with us that she has tried to protect her life, but she has just become more fearful as a result of that. And Dana got to share with her the biblical reality of God being our hope, and it doesn't taking responsibility to protect ourselves isn't where it is to be. And then we also found that her hairdresser had been sharing these things with her as well. So going to an emotionally abused person and making a lot of noise on the doorstep is a bad evangelistic strategy. But it was what we were led to do. And as you leave the results up to God and somebody freaks out, okay, well, follow the freaking out and see where it leads you. In this family, I still do not know the name of these people. They were the people that I knew I had the most in common with. I was sure would be most willing to listen to me. They had kids like I did, and I could find no avenue to connect with them. I'd like hang out in front of the house when they drove in, and they'd drive in and walk right in their house, and I'd go, hey, and they wouldn't listen to me, and I'm like, I can't do anything here. At one point, he backed out of his garage and backed into my car, and I thought, oh, this is great, because I can talk about forgiveness, and, you know, so I went over and had a couple-minute conversation with him, and then I told him it was okay, so he never talked with me again about it, and I walked away from 3 years of trying to relate to these neighbors who I was sure I was going to be the most equipped to reach, and I was never able to do anything more than get a tract in their house at Christmas. But I have hope that God used that. I don't think he led me to do it for no reason. So in all of these situations, like, I'm the one who know I didn't do much. But Holly is a believer and is in the kingdom. Victor was visited by angels at the end of his life and told to repent. Sandy was, I was a successful and fruitful witness. That's my challenge to you, what I'm leaving you with. The way to succeed, this is my little tip and trick, how to succeed in witnessing, is successfully witness. So do this process in a chosen neighborhood. See, I had this benefit of I'm going to be at seminary for 3 years, and I live right here. So it was a nice, neat package. But you can come up with that kind of package for yourself. Maybe you have a family reunion every 2 years, and one of them's happening this year. You might say, between this family reunion and next family reunion, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to share the gospel with every person in my family. You might be a teacher. You might have a classroom of 20 students, and you've got a semester. Look for a sphere of influence, a group of people, and look for a time period, and before the Lord go, I am going to be a successful witness here. In this time period, by the end of that time, if we had come up with the end of those 3 years and I hadn't done this, I would have walked over to people's door and say, I never got to tell you this, but read this, please, because I was going to fulfill my part. I would encourage you that if you will successfully witness in a chosen neighborhood for a particular time period, you will be amazed about what will happen. You will get answers to your questions about why this doesn't work or what I'm doing wrong. You will see things happen within you and around you that will amaze you. Let me pray for us, and we'll release us for the day. So these were, we're still in touch with them. We get their Christmas cards. We had lots of sort of salty conversations with them. But these two guys were just people that I did what I could do and saw nothing else happen. Thanks for being interested enough to ask. Yeah, I'll tell you that next time. So let me pray for us, and we'll go out into what the Lord has for us from here. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you have done in reaching us. I thank you for sending some high school kid to do vacation Bible clubs in a little town in Kansas. I thank you for putting a Bible in a hotel room that Dana found and led her to Christ. And somebody who said, well, let's do something. Let's put a Bible in a hotel room with the gospel in the back of it. I thank you for these men and women, for Tim and Vicki stepping out to lead a Sunday school, and for Ingrid getting people involved, for Tom, and just the people in this congregation that you have planted in communities and neighborhoods. And I pray that you would give them your vision, that they wouldn't just look around and try to find something they could do, but as they take a moment and rest, that you would place within their heart and mind, okay, it's this. And I look forward to hearing and seeing and finding what you do as we allow you to witness through us. So we give ourselves to that step and ask that your word and your spirit would lead and guide us, and you would produce your fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.